So I'm here with Rob Craig. Last night you were elected by the vast majority of Presbyterian presbyteries to be the next moderator of the General Assembly. For people who are listening who aren't Presbyterian, or for any Presbyterians who haven't been paying attention in the back pew, can you tell us a little bit about what is the moderator, what is the role for the year?
The moderator is, first of all, the person who chairs the business meeting of the Presbyterian Church. As a denomination, we meet every year on an annual basis for just less than a week in what we call our General Assembly. It's a business meeting. We receive reports to do with the life of the and witness of the work of the Church at home and overseas, and obviously the moderator's first responsibility is to chair and keep order in that meeting. But at the same time, the moderator is then given, a year away from his own congregation so that he might represent the Church at large, and therefore people talk about him being the leader of the Church. Presbyterians really don't like to use that kind of language. They say he's the first among equals, but I realise out in today's world he's seen as the, for that year, the public face of and the public spokesperson for the Presbyterian Church. And then, I suppose, a third dimension to his year in office is to travel within the Presbyterian family, often to take church services and be at special events, and hopefully be a means of support and encouragement through that.
It could be a busy year.
I expect it will be, yes.
What went through your head last night when you kind of heard the result and realised that it was you?
It's hard to know what went through my head at that time. Help was one word that comes to mind. You know, what does this mean? And what kind of trajectory will I be on in the coming year? I think the big thought I had, I made a point of going to my own presbytery, which as it happened was meeting in St. Johnstone in County Donegal. And I felt it was important to be there with my fellow presbytery members that should I be elected, we have invited, within the Presbytery of Derry and Donegal, we have invited the General Assembly to come to the city for its annual business meeting. And I know that locally, both within the city and beyond, people feel a great sense of maybe pride, if that's not the wrong word, that one of their own will be the moderator for the assembly in their city. Mm-hmm. And I made a point of going there, and when the vote was reported, I thanked the presbytery and I asked the moderator of the presbytery to commit me and to commit us to the Lord in prayer, which I felt was an important gesture and symbol to do before I would leave them and begin to field calls from the media and things like that.
Okay. As you've said, the General Assembly, it's usually based in this building, in Belfast, in Assembly buildings. So it's kind of getting to go out of town, up to the big smoke in Derry for the first time in a long, long time.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to change the character of the Assembly as the ministers and those representative elders meet?
Well, I hope as many of them as possible will try and stay. We rarely move out of Belfast. I've been a member of the Assembly for 30 years, and I think in that time we've had two assemblies out of Belfast, both in Dublin. So I can understand this is the administrative headquarters. We have all that we need here. We don't go away lightly. It will not be a special assembly, as we sometimes have, that is completely residential, but I hope there will be a certain residential atmosphere, that people will stay, and I think that does change the nature of the relationships, even the debates and the discussions that we have, and that away from the business of the assembly, people have the opportunity to meet with one another, to interact, to share meals, and simply to enjoy one another's company.
Get a bit of crack.
Mm-hmm.
As you've said, you're not technically the leader, but you're the denomination's kind of incoming figurehead.
Yeah.
As you look around it at the moment, and as you look forward to the year, I mean, how do you rate the health of the denomination?
I might be in a better position to answer that in the year's time when I've been around more of the church. But I think the health, if you look at it statistically, you would say the church is not in a good position, because compared with 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, we don't have as many members, we don't have as many baptisms, we don't have as many young people being received for communion. You would say there's a sign of a church that is ailing in some way or another. But having said that, what I have found within the church, that those who have stayed, stayed because it matters to them, because their faith is is a living thing, and in that sense, the church may be more vibrant than it has ever been. I think the other thing, alongside that and in parallel to that, we sometimes talk about Christendom and how Christendom held sway over Western Europe for so long. I think anybody who looks at the church in the West, and within Ireland in particular, would say that largely the foundations of Christendom have crumbled. And that means that the church now finds itself in a new situation where there are competing voices, and ours is just one of those voices, and that we must learn to listen, to respect, to engage, and then to present our case.
The theme for your year, is it the church a place of transformation? Did I pick that up?
Well, it's not my theme, but it's a theme that the church has set itself on a five-year scheme. The current theme is, if you like, the church having a prophetic voice, and this coming year, yes, a place of transformation.
Do you think that transformation will the church also have an effect as it listens to and responds and perhaps challenges those outside of the denomination, outside of the Christian faith?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would hope it would be. I mean, the last thing I would want to be part of is a church that is inward-looking and is only concerned about its own inward transformation. That is important, and that is part of what I believe is meant in that phrase. But I also think the church, to use the words of Jesus, is to be salt of the earth and the light of the world, and therefore we have a responsibility to have an impact on the society in which we live.
Is it possible that at the moment that the Presbyterian Church is actually in its media profile and its how it's portrayed in the newspapers and so on, it's a little bit more salt than light? I mean, a lot of the things recently have been about the church is against same-sex marriages, it's against flag protests, it's against abortion and so on. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to be kind of four things. It's not positively four things in the gospel.
Okay. To some extent, there's merit and truth in that, and the church is responding to these ethical issues that present themselves. But if, for the sake of argument, the church is seen as against abortion, we also want to say, but actually that's because the church is for life. If we say the church is against same-sex marriages, we want to say, no, the church is for marriage and a much richer and deeper understanding of human sexuality. And also, I would want to say alongside that the church is for compassion and for caring for people. And sometimes when statements are made which are true and to which we sign up, it's not possible to show that, if you like, human face and caring dimension of the church, which I know is there.
But that's something you'd like to develop throughout your year, potentially, to be alongside lots of people.
Well yes, I mean, I hope that's the kind of ministry I've had, and I don't want to be any different.
Thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.